kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Today's gospel reading paints a picture of division. Jesus and his friends are at home, probably inside Peter's house in Capernaum, since we know Jesus was not a homeowner. And crowds have gathered outside the house. Some of the people in those crowds want to meet Jesus. They want to hear what he has to teach them, or they want his touch to heal them. Some of the people in those crowds are scribes, pious people who think Jesus is a charlatan, who doubt his power comes from God, who think he's possessed by a demon. And some of the people in those crowds are Jesus' own family, who are worried about him. For, as Mark says, people were saying, he has gone out of his mind. Everybody has an opinion about who Jesus is and what that means. And the stakes are high. If he is the Son of God, anyone who rejects that possibility is missing out on the gift of a lifetime. If he's possessed by Satan, anyone who seeks healing from him is making a deal that could cost them their soul. And if you're Jesus' mother or sibling, you know that all the fuss about him, if it draws the attention of the Roman authorities, could get him killed. To the people who say he's a tool of the devil, Jesus has a simple, logical counter-argument. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. For whatever reason, Jesus doesn't offer one important piece of evidence to support his argument, which is that the demons he casts out know he's not one of them, nor is he possessed by any of their ilk. They call him the Holy One of God and Son of the Most High God. Instead of diving deeply into an argument about who he is, Jesus focuses on who his listeners want to be. They might want to watch their words, he suggests, because whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness. Across 2,000 years of Christian history, oceans of ink have been spilled in debates about what exactly Jesus may have meant by blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I am not going to settle that debate today, but these tough words of Jesus are in our Gospels, and we have to reckon with them. You and I are reckoning with these words at a time in this nation's history when demonic forces are once again on the prowl, looking for souls to possess and spiritual and material properties to plunder. Human sin being what it is, those forces have always been around, but there are times when they gain strength and times when they retreat somewhat. Demonic forces were on the rise in 1858 when the Republican candidate for the Senate, Abraham Lincoln, quoted Jesus' words about a house divided to warn his fellow party members that their nation could not persist as half slave and half free. Lincoln issued that warning in light of the Supreme Court's recent ruling in the Dred Scott case just a year before, that African Americans could not be citizens, and that, to quote the decision, they had no rights which the white man was bound to respect. Demonic forces, forces that try to interfere with our love of God and our neighbor, and try to get you and me to love something else instead, are still roaming around today. They still take hold of people we care about. They still deny, in somewhat more subtle 21st century ways, that African Americans can be citizens. They still believe and try to convince others that some people, brown or black people, or gay, lesbian, or transgender friends are the most frequent targets. They try to convince us that some people are not entitled to life and liberty, to enjoy the simple freedom of movement that people like me and many of you take for granted every day. The people who hold these views are not in themselves demons. They are beloved children of God, just as you and I are. And they need repentance and forgiveness, just as you and I do. Jesus embodied these two truths, that all people are God's beloved, and that we all need to wake up to that reality and live accordingly. Perhaps when Jesus talked about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, he meant this: denying the truth of God's love, denying our own need for healing, saying to God, present in Jesus, I have no need of you. I believe so strongly in God's mercy and grace that it's hard for me to hear Jesus say any sin could be unforgivable. But I take the Bible too seriously, I know myself too well, and I have studied too much history and read too much of the news to simply dismiss those hard words. My only hope is to have enough humility to keep asking God to forgive my sins, and to help me continue to love him and my neighbors more and more. That help comes to us through the church. In the midst of all the divisions in today's gospel reading, look at where Jesus' disciples are. They're in the house with him. They're trying to have dinner together, which is not going very well because of all the hubbub outside. But the disciples stick with Jesus. They don't yet fully understand who he is. That insight will hit them over the head after he's resurrected. But they do know that he is the one who heals. He is the one who feeds. He is the one who guides. He is the one who transcends human debates by continuing to show you and me the face of God. God created all the people who are arguing with each other. God freed the slaves from bondage in Egypt. God sustained them in the wilderness and through generations of exile. And God sent Jesus to start a new human community, grounded in his love and energized by his Spirit. If that community sticks with Jesus and remembers whose we are and who he calls us to be, we can't go wrong. Our sins will be forgiven. We will be Jesus' sisters and brothers and kin to everyone he claims as his own. Amen.